Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The 2015 All-Africa Games are underway in Brazzaville, the capital of the Republic of the Congo, where the multi-sports competition was first held 50 years ago. The opening ceremony is Friday at the new Kintele Stadium in Brazzaville, but preliminary play has already begun in certain sports. More than 50 African countries are expected to be represented at the 11th All-Africa Games. There's competition scheduled in more than 20 sports, including athletics, badminton, basketball, football, karate, tennis, and wrestling. The South African team dominated the last All-Africa Games, held in 2011 in Maputo, Mozambique. The South Africans won 156 total medals, 58 more than second-place Nigeria. South Africa's 61 gold medals were also far and away the highest total, with Egypt next at 32. In fact, in terms of gold medals won, either South Africa or Egypt has finished on top of the medals table at each of the past seven editions of the All-Africa Games. The Egyptians, though, will be without a couple of medal-contending squads at the 2015 All-Africa Games. Egypt withdrew both its men's and women's football teams ahead of the games, which will go through September 18th. Now let's go to Zurich, Switzerland, where African athletes sparkled at the IAAF Diamond League meet. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma reports.
Ethiopian Almaz Ayana clocked 8 minutes and 22.34 seconds to triumph in women's 3,000 meters at the IAAF Diamond League in Zurich, Switzerland on Thursday. Kenyans Asbel Kiprop, Paul Kipsiele Koech, and Eunice Sum won men's 1,500 meters, 3,000 meters steeplechase, and women's 800 meters respectively, while Algerian Taufik Makloufi and Nigerian Blessing Okagbare placed second in men's 800 meters and women's 100 meters respectively. South Africans Anaso Jobodwana and Wade van Niekerk were third in 200 meters and 400 meters, respectively. I'm Mark Ouma, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Thanks, Mark. And you have a sporty weekend, too. Mark mentioned Asbel Kiprop in his report. Kiprop was one of seven Kenyans to win gold medals at the recent World Athletics Championships in Beijing, China. The Kenyan team made history in Beijing, becoming the first African country to top the medals table. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report from the VOA's Nightline Africa sportsman, Shagun Dot on the spot Adeyemi.
Good evening, Africa. Kenya has made history by becoming the first African nation to emerge the overall winner of the two yearly World Athletics Championships. The East African nation finished on top of the medals table at the 15th edition of the championships. Kenya won a total of 7 gold, 6 silver, and 3 bronze medals to finish ahead of Jamaica with 7 gold, 2 silver, and 3 bronze medals, and the United States with 6 each of gold, silver, and bronze. Until this year's edition, Kenya's best outing was a second place overall finish at the 2007 edition of the championships in Osaka, Japan. In the first edition of the championships in Helsinki, Finland, in 1983, Kenya did not even appear on the medals table. Altogether, 8 African teams made it to the medals table at the 2015 edition. They are, in the order in which they finished, Kenya, Ethiopia, South Africa, Eritrea, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, and Uganda. Congratulations to Kenya, the overall winner of the 2015 World Athletics Championships, for this great achievement. Thanks so much for listening. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Segun Adeyemi in Lagos.
This is Larry Zamude, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station. Of course, we partner with VOA. VOA! And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9 Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Kenya's seventh and final gold medal in Beijing was won by Asbel Kiprop, who came from behind to win his third consecutive world title in the men's 1500 meters final.
I knew that when it comes to the last 200, 250 meters, remember that's how McLaughlin won Olympics in London, here in the last 250. I've been looking at his qualifying rounds when he races, my colleague here, it's been... They have been running both of them the last 250 meters. But when you compare his last one, last 50 meters, it's not moving. So I was a little bit confident that maybe that's where I could catch them.
That's Asbel Kiprop of Kenya, the three-time world champion in the men's 1500 meters race. And Kiprop was speaking in Beijing, China. Kenya's six other gold medal winners in Beijing were Julius Yego in the men's javelin, David Rudisha in the men's 800 meters race, Nicholas Bett in the men's 400 meters hurdles race, Ezekiel Kemboy in the men's 3,000 meters steeplechase race, Hyvin Jepkemoy in the women's 3,000 meters steeplechase race, and Vivian Chariot in the women's 10,000 meters final. Truly a great showing by the Kenyans at the World Athletics Championships.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled One-on-One with Luol Deng, and I reflect on the recent visit to our Voice of America headquarters by the South Sudan-born basketball star. In an interview with the Sunny Side of Sports, the 30-year-old Deng paid tribute to Dikembe Mutombo, who will be officially enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame next week.
You know, every time anyone says the name Mutombo, the first thing you do is smile. It's really amazing because he's just, he's been a great example for the continent, a great human being. Been teaching all of us a lot of things, all the young basketball players, and that's, I haven't even spoke about, you know, what he's done on the court, everything that really he stands for. He's done a great job of just showing everyone in the whole wide world who he really is without the basketball. And just like you said, he's that good to be, you know, a Hall of Famer. And that's something that, you know, going to be remembered for a long time.
Do you view him as maybe a role model in terms of your own humanitarian work?
No, of course. Of course. I mean, I can't sit here and say I haven't, you know, seen what he's done or haven't heard about it. And I think all those things affect you. All those positive things makes you... you know, one day want to just do similar things that he's done. And he's just been so great and so active in putting the continent out there, letting everyone know what's going on, and at the same time, spending time and putting people together in order to do something great to help others. So he's definitely a role model.
That's South Sudan-born basketball star Luol Deng of the Miami Heat speaking at our VOA studios here in Washington. Deng is the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Senegal is sending a team to next week's World Wrestling Championships in the western U.S. city of Las Vegas, Nevada. To find out more, reporter Ricky Shryock called the first vice president of the Senegalese National Wrestling Committee, Theano Ka.
The World Championships to be held in Las Vegas starting from September 10th. The Senegalese wrestlers will be there.
How many of them will be there?
Altogether, five Senegalese wrestlers.
As I understand it, there are both men and women coming in as Senegalese wrestlers, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me how many of each?
For men, the Senegalese are three. Female from Senegal, just two.
One of them is Isabelle Sambou.
Well, Isabelle Sambou will be going. She is currently vice champion on the continent in her category. She participated in the last Olympic Games in London and came out fourth because she missed the bronze medal. And she has been champion for over, I think, eight times in her category of champion of Africa.
So do you guys have high hopes for Isabelle for this tournament?
We have, but I should say reasonably. She's not that young and she has the level. We hope she will have good results.
Do you think she's had to face especially hard obstacles getting to this level considering she's a woman?
You're right, because the ladies wrestle only in the south of Senegal. Okay, and that is a tradition there. So you cannot have as many competition or tournaments as you would find with male wrestlers, that's clear. So she certainly had to convince her family to let her go her way in wrestling. And she's been doing it for over 10 years now.
In Senegal, the biggest sport is traditional wrestling. Do you think this popularity of traditional wrestling helps Senegal be able to find and develop Olympic wrestlers? And what is the difference between the two sports?
Senegalese wrestling, once one of the opponents or the protagonist falls down, he loses his combat. Olympic wrestling, you wrestle on your feet, can also wrestling on the mat.
That's Theano Ka, the first vice president of the Senegalese National Wrestling Committee, and he spoke from Dakar with reporter Ricky Shryock. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Linus Rimkus. Kick it, Linus!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Togo beat host Djibouti Friday 2-0 in a qualifying match for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Gabon. Togo got first-half goals from Serge Akpakpo and Jonathan Ayite. Togo now tops Group A in Gabon 2017 qualifying with the maximum 6 points from two matches. Djibouti suffered its second straight loss after being trounced by Tunisia 8-1 in its first qualifier. Liberia will host Tunisia Saturday in Monrovia in another 2017 Nations Cup qualifier. Our African football guru David Legge takes a look at that match and this weekend's other Gabon 2017 qualifiers.
Tunisia off to that great start with an 8-1 victory. Liberia, on the other hand, losing 2-1 away to Togo. And of course, great news for all Liberian football fans. They've been given the all clear as far as the Ebola epidemic is concerned. And it is tremendous news for our country in West Africa. And I know a lot of people there listen into the Sunny Side of Sport. And we send them a big welcome and hi. The good news for Liberia is I believe they have a good chance. Tunisians are very strong at home, but they don't always travel particularly well. And if the Liberians can get stuck in, legally of course, just hard tackles but nothing vicious, and play a good game and get that first goal, they may well have a chance, Sonny, of an upset there in the other Group A match. Turning to Group B, the matches are Central African Republic at home to Democratic Republic of Congo, and Madagascar at home to Angola. And one match I'm really looking forward to is Madagascar against Angola. And the reason is Madagascar did very well in the Castle Cup Southern African competition. What I want to see is, can they reproduce that form and even improve on it in the tougher environment? Now, Angola had a good 4-0 home victory over Central African Republic in their first match. So they're going to offer quite a challenge to the Malagasies. If Malagasy are as good as I think they are, they could well spring a surprise and win that game. Central African Republic, on the other hand, that very poor start, conceding 4 away goals, while DR Congo won 2-1 at home to Madagascar. And the Congolese, I think, will expect to come back from Bangui with at least 1 point. On to Group C. At the moment, it's Mali 3 points, Benin and Equatorial Guinea with 1 each, and South Sudan with none. Now, South Sudan, they will have home advantage over Equatorial Guinea. And we must remember that Equatorial Guinea earlier this year finished 4th as hosts of the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations. And they want to get their campaign back on track after a rather disappointing start, only drawing 1-1 at home with Benin. Benin, on the other hand, they host Mali. It's a West African derby. And I think we could see an upset here. Benin, I think, are up for the fight. And they could even beat Mali and throw Group C wide open. In Group D, it began with two predictable 2-0 home victories for Burkina Faso over the Comores and for Uganda over Botswana. And this time, the two winners are on the road. Burkina Faso are in Botswana and Uganda are in the Comores. Uganda's coach, Shredojevic, better known as Micho, he has said that the Comores game is actually the most vital one in the group. He says, if we can get a win there, we have a real chance of qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations for the first time since 1978. And I know, Sonny, your colleague Douglas, he was very exuberant when he saw this grouping of Burkina Faso, Uganda, Botswana and the Comores. And yes, indeed, I think the Ugandan Cranes and the Stallions from Burkina Faso are going to fight it out for first place in this group. In Group E, it's really interesting because Congo Brazzaville and Zambia, the two more fancy teams, were both held at home on match day one, and now they have to travel. Zambia are in Kenya, and Congo are in Guinea-Bissau. That's a long trip, and the Guinea-Bissau team, very impressive in their first match, holding Zambia 0-0 in Dola. And dare I say, we could have Kenya and Guinea-Bissau with victories leading the group, with Zambia and Congo-Brazzaville trailing. The first matches in Group F were really contrasting. You had a 7-1 victory for Cape Verde over Sao Tome e Principe, and you had a 1-0 victory for Morocco over Libya. On this occasion, it's Libya against Cape Verde and Sao Tome against Morocco. I think the easier one to predict is that Morocco will go to the island of Sao Tome and win. Libya and Cape Verde, that one strikes me is going to be a close affair. In Group G, well, it's one of the two groups of depth because you've got Egypt and Nigeria. Egypt, record 7-time African champions. Nigeria, 3 times winners of the Cup of Nations. Now, both sides could qualify because the best 2 runners-up also go through. But to do that, I think a runner-up is going to need 12 points, and that's a tall order. In other words, you're going to have to win possibly 2 home games and also 2 away games. And this weekend, both Egypt and Nigeria are on the road. I think Egypt have got marginally the easier tie. They're away to Chad in N'Djamena, where the heat is often as big a challenge for the visiting team as the actual local footballers. It gets up, Sonny, to 40 degrees Celsius in Chad. And playing in the middle of the afternoon in 40 degrees is certainly not my idea of much fun. Nigeria, on the other hand, they'll probably prefer a nice cool breeze coming in from the Indian Ocean when they play in Dar es Salaam against Tanzania. And I think Egypt and Nigeria will both be very conscious of the fact that they need to try and get maximum points before they face each other twice within a week next March. Group H, we saw Ghana hammering poor little Mauritius 7-1. And Rwanda, a good away victory in Mozambique by 1-0. The next matches there, we're going to see Mauritius against Mozambique. So that's a battle of the 2 matchday 1 losers. And then we got Rwanda against Ghana, which is the top of the table one. Now, our Ghanaian listeners, certainly those in their 20s and 30s, they will have very sad memories of the last time that the Black Stars went to Rwanda. It's a good 10 years ago, Sonny. Ghana were firm favourites to win. It was a Nations Cup qualifier, but Rwanda shocked them by 1-0. And that will no doubt give the Rwandans some hope. In a match, you would expect the Black Stars to win, and you would also expect Mozambique to win in Mauritius. Group I has only got 3 teams, and it's the first appearance by the defending champions, Ivory Coast. They're going to play Sierra Leone in Lagos. And that is correct, not a mistake on my behalf. Unfortunately, the Ebola virus is still a major problem in Sierra Leone. And in recent times, they've been particularly unfortunate in that they cannot find a neutral venue. And they've had to play their home games at the ground of their opponents. But the Nigerian Football Federation, to their great credit, have said to Sierra Leone, come and play in Lagos. We will offer you a sort of home away from home. And I salute the Nigerians for that. I think it's a wonderful gesture. Whether it's going to be enough for Sierra Leone to shock the Ivorians, I doubt it. But on the other hand, the Ivorians are going to miss some of their key players, including the Manchester City pair. Wilfred Bonny is injured. And Yaya Toure, the four-time African Footballer of the Year, he has said that he needs a break. He needs a rest. In fact, there is a question mark about his international future with the Ivory Coast at the moment. But if I'm a betting man, I'll say a narrow victory there for the Ivory Coast. Unfunny to Group J, and here we've got Lesotho hosting Algeria, the number one ranked country in Africa. Lesotho always put up a good fight in Maseru, but you've got to fancy the Algerians to win that one. And then you've got Seychelles against Ethiopia. Ethiopia, not normally the best of travellers, but if they've got any ambitions of doing well in the Cup of Nations qualifiers, this is a match they must win. In Group K, it's Burundi against Niger and Namibia against Senegal. Namibia, the recent winners of the Southern African Championship, this is a chance to really test just how good they are up against the Senegalese, a side that looks particularly strong in attack. And Burundi and Niger, difficult one to call that in Bujumbura. Group L is a strange one, Sonny, in that in the first round of matches, both games ended in away victories, and that is unusual in the African Cup of Nations. Zimbabwe went to Malawi and won 2-1, and an even bigger shock was Swaziland going to Morocco, which is the temporary home for Guinea because of the Ebola epidemic, and the Swazis won by 2-1. And on this occasion, Swaziland are at home to Malawi, and Zimbabwe at home to Guinea. And if the Swazis and the Zimbabweans can win, they will be level on 6 points, but perhaps even more significant, they will be 6 points ahead of the Guineans and the Malawians, turning this group into what essentially would be a two-horse race. So for Swaziland and Zimbabwe, an awful lot to play for. The other group of death is Group M, and this was expected to be a real clash between Cameroon and South Africa. But Mauritania and Gambia seem to have other ideas. The Mauritanians held Cameroon for 90 minutes before conceding the only goal of the game in Yaoundé. And if ever there was a moral victory in defeat, it was that for Mauritania. On the other hand, in Durban, Gambia went one better by holding South Africa to a goalless draw. This weekend, it's Gambia against Cameroon, and that's going to be a tough test for Cameroon in Banjul, and Mauritania against South Africa in Nouakchott. Now, if South Africa were to lose this game, I am going to put my head on the block, Sonny, and say they will have no chance of qualifying for 2017. Mm. And for a side with ambitions of winning the Cup of Nations and going to the World Cup in Russia in 2018, that would be nothing less than a disaster with capital D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R. And I think it's going to be tough. I think the South African coach, Sheikh Mashaba, hit the nail on the head when he said, we have got to score first. If South Africa can see the first goal, I can see them in real difficulties.
David, as we talk, we're four matches into the new English Premier League season. How about your general thoughts?
Yes, Sonny. Well, out in front and doing very well indeed are Manchester City. They've got four matches, four victories, 10 goals scored, significantly no goals conceded, and 12 points. So after just four rounds, they're 3 points ahead, and they're ahead of three clubs, Sonny, that you really wouldn't expect to be up there at the top of the table, even at this early stage of the season. Crystal Palace have got 9 points, Leicester City have got 8 points, and Swansea have got 8 points. And then sort of more natural names as far as the top half of the table, Manchester United with 7, Arsenal with 7, and Liverpool with 7, and then you've got West Ham with 6 points. And down at the bottom of the table in that dreaded relegation zone with 2 points each, you've got Stoke City, you've got Newcastle United, and you've got Sunderland. Sunderland, no surprise to me. Newcastle, they were very lucky to avoid relegation last season, and they seem to be already in trouble, 2 draws and 2 defeats. A bit surprised, Sonny, to see Stoke with only 2 points, 2 draws and 2 losses. They're under the former Manchester United striker, Mark Hughes. He's the coach, or as they call him in England, the manager. And then just above them, you've got Watford, newly promoted, 3 draws and 1 loss. And then one that's a little bit more surprising, really, Tottenham Hotspur. 4 matches played, and they still don't have a win. 3 draws and 1 loss. So they've got 4 points, so they've got some work to do. But perhaps the biggest surprise of them all, Sonny, is Chelsea. 4 matches played, 1 win, 1 draw, 2 defeats. 6 goals scored, 9 conceded, and only 4 points accumulated. Now that means after 4 rounds, they're already 8 points behind Manchester City. Not the sort of form you would expect from Chelsea under their very charismatic Portuguese manager, Jose Mourinho, who's been making all sorts of headlines, Sonny, while you were on leave and enjoying yourself. And perhaps the most bizarre was that he fired a team doctor. Her name escapes me, but I can tell you, a very nice lady indeed. And her sin was that in injury time in the first match of the season against Swansea, with Chelsea pushing hard against Swansea to try and get a winner, a Chelsea player, Eden Hazard, was injured. And Mourinho, for some reason, thought, well, he shouldn't really be treated. And the doctor, of course, did what she should do. She ran onto the field to treat him. And as she came off the field, she got a rant from Mr. Mourinho. The doctor has since been dropped. She's no longer on the sideline. This is sort of typical of what's happening at Chelsea at the moment. They're basically in a little bit of a free fall. They went to Manchester City in the second round of the season and took a 3-0 hiding. The only match they won was away to lowly West Bromwich Albion. So I think, Sonny, in the next few weeks on your show, we will be paying particular interest in the fortunes of Jose Mourinho and his Chelsea side, because another defeat or two, Sonny, and even this early in the season, they're going to be out of the running for the title.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.